Lord, I pray for Steve now as he brings your word. In fact, your word says that we were created for your glory. It says that in all things we should give glory to you. So I pray as Steve preaches, as we receive his word, that all will be done for the glory of God. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Good morning. Good to see you all. Why don't you just turn around and say hello to somebody, especially if you don't recognize someone around you. Even get out of your seat. Don't leave anybody sitting on their own. Cool. Good. Well, we're going to continue in our series called Kingdom Living, Kingdom People. And this morning I want to talk about something that I don't think I've ever spoken about before. And I have preached a number of messages over the years. But I want to speak this morning about rest and living in the rest and the peace of God. Yeah, some people are going, yeah. So is there anybody that's up for a bit more peace and rest in their life? Yeah, a lot of us, I think that's a good place. Making more room for the rest of God, just encountering God. And, you know, there are so many promises in the Bible that encourage us to receive his rest, to rest in God, to take his rest upon us. And so that's what I want to kind of look at this morning. And last week we looked at the gift of forgiveness. And, you know, to walk in forgiveness, we need to learn to abide or to rest in God. When we encounter God, when we experience him, then it's easy to let the gifts flow. It's easy to be gracious. It's easy to receive from him, but also to give to others as well. So Hebrews 4 verse 11 says this: let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience, or it says in other translations, unbelief. So guys, make every effort. Why don't you just turn to somebody next to you, smile at them, do the awkward and say, make every effort. You know, it's a funny thing to say to somebody, make every effort to rest. But what I think the Bible is saying is that there's an intentionality that we need to do to press into that place of rest. Because maybe it's not something obvious, maybe it's not something that we will naturally do. But make every effort to take hold of what God has made possible for you. The world is a manic place, and there's lots of stresses and problems and challenges and difficulties. Make every effort to enter that rest, that place that God has made possible for us. And you know, when I think about the cross and what Jesus did, he suffered. He went through agony. He was publicly humiliated on the cross. And he did all of that so that you and I wouldn't have to suffer those things. And, you know, the cross made it possible for us to achieve peace with God, relationship with him, but to encounter, even in the manicness of life, an oasis of peace that we can experience. And I forget, I think it was John Wesley's wife, wasn't it? That she, you know, you must have heard this, you know, she said with all the manicness and children, didn't she? Was she the one that put an apron over her head, you know, do anything, You know, she's like put an apron over her head, and she was standing at the sink, and the kids knew, okay, when mum's doing that, you know, we're not going to go. You know, she did something to encounter the peace, the presence of God. And so we need to find ways that we can make every effort to find that place of peace. And when I say peace and rest, I'm not saying, oh, great, Steve's given us an opportunity just to be lazy, sit around all day and do nothing. What I'm talking about is encountering the peace of God. Even in the busyness of life, we can experience and encounter him if we intentionally go for it. And so, that's what I want to encourage you this morning. Because, you know, there's something about even when you meet, I've met people over the years, and you're with them and you're like, I feel peaceful because I'm with this person. And there's something about them that brings me into, you know, they're kind of calm and prayerful and just chilled and, you know, wow. I can learn something from. Do you know what I mean? Have you met those people? Are you one of those people? Maybe you are. But Philippians 4, verse 7 says, "And the peace of God, which transcends or passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus." The peace of God. The peace of God. The peace of God. The rest of God. You know, most of Paul's letters begin with grace and peace to you. He knew the secret of grace. He knew that this secret of peace, this secret of rest. Grace and peace to you from the Father of our Lord, Jesus Christ. And there's a lesson there that we can learn. You know, the peace of God is different to what the world has to offer. God's peace isn't just the absence of conflict, but it's a place of wholeness and completeness. It's a place where we don't strive. It's a place where we can just rest, knowing that we're secure and safe. It's a place where all of the voices, all of the oppression stops. And actually, peace and rest, that is in some way a reflection of who Jesus is, because Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Wow. Thank you for reminding me, Steve. I didn't know about that. Wow, that's amazing. And so in order for us to stay in that place, we need to be intentional. And you might be thinking, don't give me something more to do. You know, I'm struggling as it is to just do what I'm doing. But what I want to encourage you is have a vision for it. Have a vision to enter the rest, the peace of God. Make it your aim to do that. Because actually, if you don't have a vision for it, if you don't see you need it, then we're not going to run after it. But let's see that actually this is something that Jesus has made available for us on the cross. It's something that he is giving to us as a gift. And let's step in. Let's intentionally go for it. You know, when you step into that place of rest of his presence, he will meet with you. He doesn't withhold anything. He wants to meet with you. All the stresses, fears, worries slip away. And, you know, that's why it's important to find and make it a priority. Mark 6, verse 31. And I want us to, so it says, then because so many were coming out and going that they did not even have a chance to eat. And he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place, get some rest. Can I ask, why don't you just close your eyes? Because I want us just to pause for a minute. And I want Jesus to speak to you through scripture today and through his spirit to say to you, that's an invitation to come with me by yourselves to a quiet place to get some rest. It's a beautiful invitation to God. What Keep your eyes closed. What does that look like for you? What does getting aside with Jesus to a quiet place to get some rest, what does that look like for you? How could you make that happen more often? Isn't that a beautiful promise to God, from God? Come aside, come away, come by yourselves, come spend time with me, get some rest. Wow, beautiful, beautiful promise. And so this morning, I was so glad I didn't get stopped by the police. An axe. So often when, so just think of the axe, then hopefully you will remember this message. Now there's a reason why I brought this with me today, but I want to share a story with you. I'll leave it there. I don't know if you've ever watched, there's a variety of different things that you can watch on YouTube. You've got every single kind of permutation, every sort of like weird and wonderful pastime. And they have tree chopping competitions. Anybody watch those? Only one person in the room. Oh, two. Wow. Three. All the guys are so reluctant. Yeah. And then they have chainsaws that they look like they've put like small car engines attached to, and they have these massive great big logs, and it's like, and you know, it's all like very niche, and but they also have proper traditional axe chopping competitions as well. And anyway, I heard this story, which I want to read. So in this particular town, there was an axe champion. Everybody knew that one day when he would retire, that he would have to retire, but he was showing no signs of losing his effectiveness or his skills at chopping wood in a record time. However, one day, a new would-be challenger challenged the champion. He laid down a challenge to him and said, "Let's see who can chop the most wood in one day. Let's chop from sunrise until sunset, and at the end of the day, the one who's chopped the most wood will be the winner." The champion looked at the young, strong, eager challenger and said, "Okay, let's do it." And so the challenger looked at the muscly, gray-haired, aged champion and thought, "Ha-ha, this one I'm going to win." So the challenger worked very hard, stopping only for a brief lunch break, whereas the champion seemed to be more leisurely, having a leisurely lunch, took several breaks during the day. At one point, he even made a cup of tea for the challenger and said, "Why don't we stop for 5 minutes and have a drink together?" The challenger replied, "Don't be silly, I'm chopping wood and you're not. I want to win." Well, at the end of the day, at sunset, the challenger was surprised and annoyed to find out that actually the aged champion had chopped far more wood than he had. "I just don't get it," he said. "Every time I checked, you were taking a rest. Yet you chopped more wood than I did." And the winner looked at him and said with a warm, gentle smile of friendship, and he said, "When I was sitting down to rest, did you not notice that while I was resting, I was sharpening my axe?" There you go. So guys, how is your axe? Is your axe sharp? Or is your axe blunt and getting worn out? Because actually, God says that we're to enter his rest. And it's not just for no reason. Actually, he's saying, enter my rest for a purpose. Enter my rest so that you can be sharper, that you can recharge, that you can take time to draw strength from me. Because when we rest, that's where we draw strength from, that's where we get filled up, that's where we get perspective. So are you making time for that, to to rest. And if you haven't been, can I encourage you? Take time specifically to have time with God. Life is busy, isn't it? Yeah. I have a Bible in a year plan, and it takes 10 minutes to read the different scriptures. And but it's so easy to say, actually, my day is so busy, I don't even have 10 minutes. And I know that every single one of us has had that experience. But we need to be making time to rest and to spending time in the presence of God if we want to remain strong and sharp and be effective for God. Are you still with me? You anybody fallen asleep? No, anybody? No, good. You're with me of a sort. Okay, good. Because I've got an axe. Okay, yeah, exactly. Maybe I should just carry it around with me. And then, okay. Isaiah 26, verse 3. No. It says, you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. So there's an intentionality, isn't there, by saying, actually, God, I need you. I desire you. I can't be without you. I can't be without your presence. I don't want to do it on my own. I need you. I'm dependent upon you. I don't have the strength to make it on my own. I need you. I want to draw from you to help me. I can't go a day without you. I need you. I realize I can't do this on my own or in my own strength. And you know what God says? Well done. Thank goodness you've come to the end of yourself, because I want to bring you to that place of rest. Rest equals strength. Rest equals being sharp. Rest equals having the power to do what is calling you to do. And so be intentional about taking rest. Wouldn't it be nice if we just closed our eyes and just said, Lord, and poof, instantly the stress and cares of this world just dropped away. But you know, often it doesn't happen like that. You know, the things just don't happen instantly, but we can seek God with an expectation and a desire to encounter him. And as I said, if you don't have a vision to do it and no desire to do it, then it's not going to happen. And don't say you don't have enough time. Because if it takes 15 minutes, if it takes 10 minutes, if it takes 15 minutes, if it takes 20 minutes, then put that time aside and do what it takes to enter into the rest of God. It's strange that we can spend hours watching a film or hours scrolling through watching wood chopping videos or whatever it is, whatever your thing is. What do we like? What are the, anybody got any weird watches? Not as in like anybody like to, I mean, I love watching aeroplane. Anybody else? What else do we, that's not weird. Okay, no, well, Bigfoot. Okay, there you go. Aircraft investigations. Okay, air crash. Right, okay. Oh, that's really getting bad. Okay. The thing is, though, you know, we can spend quite a bit of time just watching those, because you know, those interest videos, and yet we find it difficult to spend 10, 15 minutes. Bite the bullet. Make it a priority. Get up 15 minutes earlier. Do what it takes. It's an act of your will to enter the rest of God. So if you're here stressed out, struggling, then make a change. Make a change. You know, the only way that you're going to live as an overcomer is to live in the rest of God, live by the Spirit of God. It says that in Galatians 5, 16. So I say to you, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Walking in the Spirit, living in the Spirit, displaying the fruits of the Holy Spirit, that's the decision that we have to make every day, isn't it? And we also have the ability to decide whether or not we're going to enter into his rest. So nobody's stopping us. God's not stopping you. The enemy wants to stop you. But sometimes the decisions and the priorities that we make stop us really entering into that place of, wow, God's with me. God's with me. Wow, it's amazing. It's a beautiful thing, you know, to know the peace of God. I don't know if you know, those of us that are parents, you know, there are times when sometimes our kids will come up to us and they'll kind of just snuggle on in. Or maybe they've been disturbed or something's happened to them and they just want your comfort and they'll snuggle on in. And you put your arms around them and you're kind of loving them and protecting them and assuring them. And it's kind of nice for us as parents, and hopefully it's nice for the kids, you know, that they find that security. And I was thinking about that, thinking, yeah, that's in some way a picture of what it is like for us to enter the rest of God, about living in this place of peace. You know, that's where we find abundant life, where we come to God and he wraps his arms around us. And the cares of the world seem to disappear. The pressure, the stuff that is worrying us, it just disappears. That's where we find rest. That's where we find abundant life. And, you know, people see it. People sense that in us as we are living this out. Yeah, some people, so Colossians 2 verse 6 says, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him." Now, some people live like they are living a defeated life. They feel that they can never rest because of what they've done. Well, I want to speak to you this morning and say, focus on Jesus, not on your failures. Now, the enemy will come to each and every one of us and want us to concentrate on what is lacking, what we're not doing, what we've done wrong. And it can lead us to live in some way, something different to how God wants us to live. Focus on Jesus, not on your failures. Keep your eyes fixed upon him. You know, take hold of what he's done on the cross, what he made possible for you, and apply it to yourself. I'm loved. I'm precious. I'm of value. God loves me. You know, I've now died and Christ lives in me. And the truth is that dead people don't worry. Dead people aren't proud. Dead people don't react. If there was a dead body here and you kicked it, nothing would happen, because it's not alive. And that's what we're called to be. We're called to be dead to sin and alive to Christ. It's not I that live, but it's Christ who lives in me. And so guys, I just want to encourage you this morning. There is a beautiful place. There's a beautiful place of peace, of rest, an oasis, as it were, in God for us. But it takes intentionality, it takes a vision to grasp it. And Romans 12, verse 2 says, and this is great, if you want that rest and that peace, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." So, getting into the rest and the peace of God is, as I said, intentional. We can choose to think about and to meditate upon things that are going to build us up rather than dwelling on our failures and the things that, our mistakes, the things that pull us down. One of my favorite verses is in Philippians 4, verse 8. And it says that, "Finally, my brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure." Oh, this is so good, isn't it? "Whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." Yes. Not on failures, not on mistakes, not that I'm hopeless, Not that I'm going to amount to nothing. Not that nothing is ever going to change. But no, I'm going to fix my eyes on Jesus. And I'm going to meditate upon whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely. You know, when I do that, I am sharpening the axe. I am staying in that place of being ready to be more and more fruitful. So give yourself something to meditate upon, on God's plans, the promises that he has for you, so that you won't get dragged down, but you will enter his rest. You know, one of the, we all know, don't we, that the fiercest battle that goes on in our lives is in here. In the minds, isn't it? It's a battle of the mind. In 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4 and 5, it says, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take every thought, and make it obedient to Christ. So, you know, entering into God's rest and God's peace means that we're going to change our thinking. Let's stop looking at and being critical about ourselves or maybe others and lift our eyes on who Jesus says that we are, on what he's done, everything that is positive, everything that is upbuilding. That's what we want, and that's what the Word of God preaches. So Philippians 4, verse 11 and 12, and this is a real amazing insight into the life of Paul. It says, I'm not saying this because I am in need or I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. You know, I don't think that the Apostle Paul suddenly woke up one morning and said, praise God, I've become content, and it's just happened by chance. What a wonderful, I've just had this epiphany, so to speak. No, I think he learned to be content in everything by intentionally pressing in to God, working, majoring upon the goodness of God, knowing that he's called, encountering God. And by doing that, he said, I've learned to be content in whatever situation that he found himself in. He realized that he had to do it if he wanted to experience the full, abundant life that Jesus promised. He needed to find that place of peace, even when he was in the middle of a prison, even when he was, when the situations of life just looked hopeless. But even in those situations, he said, I have learned to be content. And depending on Jesus for life means no longer depending on yourself. And actually in verse 13, he goes on to say, and I can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. So guys, I want to say you can do all things through Christ. He can give you the grace. He can give you the ability. He can give you the power to face whatever it is that you are facing. But let me tell you, it's so easy to springboard into that place of faith where when we are resting and we're in that place of receiving from him. Does that make sense? And it's not like we have to spend a week fasting and praying to enter into that place. No, we're already there. We're already expectant. We're already meeting and encountering him. So I'm going to just draw things to a close. But I want more of the peace of God. I want more of the peace of God. I want us as the church to have a deeper level of peace in encountering God. It's a promise that God says that he wants to give to us. And I don't want to neglect that place of walking in greater peace, greater certainty, dependence upon Him, acknowledging, actually, I can't do this on my own. And you know, God, if you go after it, then God is more than willing and wanting you to receive it. You know, we were out at a, went out for a meal the other day, or no, we didn't. We went for a walk and we went to a cafe, and we were sitting in the cafe, and there was a big crash, and a guy, yeah, just like that, a guy collapsed on the table next to us. And so I looked over and I thought, is he going to get up? He's not going to get up. He's not getting up. So I went over and we gave him some first aid, and the ambulance came. But you know, just in that moment to be able to have the peace of God, to pray for him. And people were saying to me, "Why you're very calm? Are you a doctor?" And but you know, just to have the confidence to be able to pray for, to know God with us, to minister to that man. I think he probably had a stroke. But just to know the presence of God, the peace of God, even in when you've got like a horrible situation that you're having to deal with, but to know that, you know, right in that moment, God is there. God's with you. It just brings it home. This isn't just pie in the sky. This isn't just theory. This is like, you know, the practical blessing of knowing the rest of God, the peace of God. So, let me just bring things to a close. So remember the axe? Okay. I will lock it away after service. Remember the axe. It's not all about doing. Pursue God. Pursue his rest. But it's not about all just doing a frenetic activity. There's a place of peace, a place of security, a place to recharge, a place to resharpen, as it were, the axe. And let's aim. Let's go for it. Let's have it on our radar that actually rest and peace is the place that I want to go for. And what a blessing to receive freedom and forgiveness and healing in that place. Let our relationship with God go deeper. Let it mature. That's what happens when we spend time with him, when we lean upon him, when we draw upon him. And, you know, as I said, it's not about fulfilling your duty just to read your Bible and pray every day. It's so much more than that. It's fellowship. It's time to draw from him. It's a time to be in his presence for him to take the burdens from us. It's time for him to take the concerns and from us that confront us every day, that we pray and give them to you, to God. So I just want to finish just by speaking some words. We spoke about looking at whatever is pure and holy and right. And I just want to speak some words from God's heart to you today of what he says that you are. And then it'll be great for us to pray this morning if anybody... And I think probably all of us would like a touch of God's peace and strengthening this morning. But you can close your eyes if you want. But I just want you to receive these words over you. You are loved. You're precious. You are cared for. You are protected. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Fear not. I am with you. You are forgiven. You are made new. I know you by name. I am your strength. You are of great value. You are chosen. You are holy. You're accepted. God says that he's your child. You're a citizen of heaven. The Bible says that nothing can separate you from his love. You have been delivered. You have been rescued. He is your victory. And so many other things we could talk about and declare what the Bible says that you are. But take some of those promises this morning. Maybe the Ali, you can come. Should we all stand together? Oh, Father, thank you for your presence. Thank you for your presence here. Lord, I thank you so much that we don't have to strive today. We don't have to wail and shout and scream for you to be attentive to us. I thank you, Father, for the incredible blessings that you and promises that you speak over our lives. And Father, thank you that you have a solution. You have a word. You have something for each and every person here this morning. Lord, I pray that you would, Lord, take us deeper into a place of peace and security in you. I pray, Father, that you'd minister into people's hearts, emotions, thinking, decisions, and that you would just come and move this morning by your Holy Spirit. Be great for us to pray. If you're feeling that you want God's peace afresh in your life, God's rest, freedom from oppression, heaviness, or whatever it is, or just feeling, I want God to do a work of restoration in me. Why don't you, let's just take some time. Be great if you want to come forward. Let's just take a few minutes just to pray. If some of the leaders want to come out, and then we can just pray for anybody that would like some ministry, some prayer, just someone to stand with them this morning. Let's just give an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to move. And just let, God revive his people, restore his people, set his people in that place of experiencing and encountering his peace. If you want prayer, please come. We'd love to pray for you.